Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen and I am joined today by, oh my goodness, just a variety of different people that we have not had on the show before, but that work for the same general entity, full press coverage titans of the Full Press Coverage website. Those guys, Full Press Coverage, does some great work. I love the site. I love reading the stuff that you guys do. I haven't seen a lot of Titans lately. I'm very tight with the Full Press Coverage Bucks guys. So it's a good time. Welcome to the show. Thanks for coming in. And I guess let's just go around the horn because I have no better segue to start this show. Just shout yourself out, who you are, where people can find you on Twitter, and why you're in my life today. We'll start with Dean. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Eric. Thanks for having me on. I'm Dean Williams. I'm the managing editor of Full Press Coverage Titans Group. And you can find me on Twitter at BadAppleFFB and at Full Press Coverage Titans.
Good to hear. All right. We'll go to the left now, although your screens probably look completely different than mine. Matty, what's up, my man?
Oh, not a lot, man. How's it going? Matt Duckworth. I'm just one of the contributors here at FPC Titans. Love doing it. My very first podcast, so I'm a little nervous, but a whole lot of excited.
Oh, don't be. As long as you're good at just talking randomly and rambling on for a good 1 to 2 minutes at a time, you'll be fine. It's easy. It's just blowing hot air, basically. 90% of podcasting is just hot air coming out of your mouth.
Well, I'm full of hot air. You're just asking these guys.
That's good. I like it. Also a wild card. Using me deeply in a group chat by saying that the Dallas Cowboys were the best offense in the AFC South. I like a wild card. I'm glad you brought the fire tonight. And my friend Jake, how you doing, man?
I'm good. You can find me at Lyman Jake on Twitter. I'm kind of the new guy for FBC Titans. I've only been working for about 3 months, but first podcast too, so I'm excited.
Oh, for real. Hey, don't be nervous at all. You're in the company of a master talker. I enjoy talking more than I enjoy most anything in life. So let's just get to it, man. Let's dive right in. You guys obviously are all Titans fans, or you just chose to write about the Titans by choice. I'd imagine you're all Titans fans, correct?
I'm a Titans fan. I think that's good. I might be the only one.
Oh, really? Dean, you're not a Titans fan.
Well, I live pretty close to Nashville, so I do follow the Titans, but I don't claim them as my first love. I will admit that.
Who is your team?
Oh, I've been an Eagles fan since I lived in Philadelphia a long time ago.
I like it. Nothing wrong with that. Man, and what about Matt very against that. Are you a Patriots fan?
No. Huge Brady fan, but I'm a Cowboys fan, so I don't really have to be proud of.
Very nice. All right. Well, I'll have to keep you in mind. I might have to get you on for the NFC East preview. Like, if you're a Cowboys fan, we'll have to get you on for that. I'll keep you in the loop as far as that goes. But we are here to talk about the AFC South, the home of the Tennessee Titans, a team that are, I would say, in a weird spot right now. I'm not quite sure what the Titans are going to be this year, but I'm excited to kind of figure that out as we dive into this a little bit. But let me start you all first by asking, let's go around the horn a little bit here. We'll start with you, Dean. Who do you think the best offense in this division is? Because right now I feel like there are a lot of decent offenses in this division that are really looking to take kind of a next step forward.
I think if everybody's healthy, the best offense in the division is probably the Houston Texans. With Hopkins can catch anything. That guy is just unbelievable. And Deshaun Watson is as good a young quarterback as anybody in the league. The Texans are the ones I would have to point the finger at to say they're probably the best offense in the division. The Colts, Andrew Luck, if he's healthy, wouldn't be too bad, but I don't think they have the weapons overall that Houston has, or even Tennessee has, for that matter.
Hmm. That's an interesting, but is there any disagreement among Maddie and Jake?
I would probably disagree a little bit. I definitely think the Texans are one or two. I just think their offensive line is so bad. It's hard to overlook it. I mean, their tackles last year, they were going to like their third string guy halfway through the year. So I think you're going to have Deshaun Watson running around a lot this year on that torn ACL. And yeah, they have DeAndre Hopkins, and he can throw it to him on every play. Will Fuller can take the top off the defense, but I think all things considered, I have to go with Tennessee, and maybe I'm showing my bias here a little bit, but offensive line, they got bookend tackles, they got a two-headed monster in the backfield, and I think in LaFleur's new offense, I think Mariota's going to come back and play more like he did in his second season. And then I just think Corey Davis is – I think he's a star from what I've seen from training camp, and hopefully we'll see more in the preseason game tomorrow. I think he I think he'll emerge as the number one wide receiver in Tennessee. But I think if we're looking just everybody stays healthy, everybody I think it'll be the Titans. I think Texans are definitely close, but I would have to go with Tennessee.
You know, I definitely agree with you. I think that Tennessee, they might not be the most talented at every position, but they're the most balanced offense. They don't have a weakness at any position. Yeah.
They're just very consistent, very constantly above average at every position.
Yeah, I guess as a Titans fan, I'd have to ask you this. Have you liked what you've seen from Marcus Mariota as a Texans fan? Like, has he met your expectations in his first kind of 2 to 3 years in the league here? Or because really him and Winston were really hyped up coming into the draft. And definitely. I feel like both have kind of
underperformed,
fizzled out a little bit.
And I think the one thing I'm going to look at is it was like middle to second half of his second season in the league. He was putting up MVP numbers. I mean, you look at it, I think he was the number one fantasy quarterback over 7 or 8 weeks. So last year he struggled, but Terry Robiskie was running a 1980s offense, and I think he was dealing with some hamstring injuries most of the year. I definitely was not impressed with what Mariota did last year. I think he struggled to find his receivers, even though his receiving core wasn't too good last year. But I think he'll make a bounce back season. But I definitely wouldn't say I'm 100% convinced he's the franchise guy at this point, but I would still place a bet that he's the guy for Tennessee.
All right. That's a fair point. Matt, your thoughts on kind of the best offense in this division?
Well, sorry to go against you here, Jake, but I got to go with the old guy over here. I'm kind of on the Texans with this.
I'd say it's close. It's close.
It's very close, especially if the Titans make the type of leap forward that they can with what LaFleur seems to be putting in. I really think this offense can be a lot to handle. It can throw a whole bunch of different things at you. You could have Mariota scrambling past you. You could have Deion Lewis catching the ball or shimmying and boogieing through the line for chunks. Corey Davis dominating the middle of the field. Taylor burning. Whoever else wins that other spot between like Sharp, VZ, any of them.
Rashard Matthews, very good young talent.
I don't forget about Matthews. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you got the freight train, Derrick Henry, just bulldozing people with that new zone blocking scheme. I think he's going to have a lot of running lanes. But I still think the Texans might have it. You have, like you mentioned earlier, Fuller just burning down one seam. They got the new guy. I've never quite gotten his name right. Is it Cutie? Cutie?
Oh, yeah. Kiki Kuti or something like that.
Yeah, he's another burner. And then you got, like what Dean said, Hopkins, who can catch anything.
Yeah, but okay, here is my question, I guess, for you two Texans defenders, and whoever wants to answer this can jump on it first. Outside of Fuller and Hopkins and Watson, what does this offense have? Because I think the wide receiving depth is not great, and I don't buy into Lamar Miller at all as a running back. Yes, they have some top tier talent, but they aren't a well-rounded offense, I'd say. Am I wrong in assuming that?
Not necessarily, but Lamar Miller was a top 12 running back as far as PPR was last year under Watson for those four games. It's a small sample size, but Watson's mobility and Lamar Miller's adequacy at catching the ball in the backfield just kind of made him serviceable, and it made it where you had to respect him and you couldn't just pin your ears back and try to make Lamar Miller beat you. And Watson, he's never really had this much talent around him, even at Clemson. Mike Williams didn't really make his big emergence until his senior year, and he had, Hunter Renfrow and an average offensive line at best. Like, I know there's a big gap between college and the NFL, but cerebrally, Watson is just capable of seamlessly transitioning from one to the other, and I think that's going to make dividends. As much as I love Mariota, he still has a little bit to prove.
Dante Foreman, do you think that maybe he steals Lamar Miller's job? Because as much as you like to say a top four in PPR, fantasy football and real football are not the same thing, and you have to have a ground game in this league to succeed. I think that's been proven by a lot of the past Super Bowl champions. Like, the running back position is becoming more and more valuable. Lamar Miller as a runner, I don't think he's that good. Do you think there's any chance that Dante Freeman steals that spot, Dean?
Oh, it's not a question of stealing. It's a question when he takes it away from it. Foreman will have that job when he's healthy. He's not healthy right now. The Achilles tear that he suffered is not healed to the point that he's going to be able to play right out of the gate. But he will take Miller's job eventually at some point this year. I think the thing with both the Texans offense and the Titans offense that we're seeing is both those offenses are tailored to their quarterback. Deshaun Watson is running a system very similar to what he ran at Clemson. He already knows the nuances of it. And from what we've seen, Jake and Matt, if correct me if I'm wrong, I think the system that LaFleur is putting in is tailored to Marcus Mariota's strengths and what he did at Oregon. So you're going to see two offenses that are very similar in the fact that the quarterbacks are in positions where they can make plays and they know how to do that. The thing about it is the Texans went through that whole learning process last year, and the Titans are probably going to take two or three games to really get their feet on the ground and get going with it this year.
Mm. I agree.
Moving on to our next topic of conversation, unless you have something to add, Jake.
No, you're good.
All right. Let's go around the horn here. Who has the hottest seat in this division right now? It doesn't necessarily have to be a coach. I'll let you start, Jake.
I was between two here when I was thinking about it earlier. I went with Blake Bortles. I think that's the easy answer. I think you're looking at it. That team has a loaded defense at all three levels. You've got a rising star running back in Fournette. They don't really have many weapons for Bortles, but I just think if he doesn't have a good year this year, the Jaguars are going to be, I don't think they're going to have a great record, and I think they'll be in position to take a quarterback in the draft, and they're going to pull the trigger on that. My second option was Mike Vrabel.
That doesn't seem right. This is his first year. How can he be on the hot seat yet?
No, I'm not saying he's going to get fired. That's not my – I'm saying that you look at – Mularkey got them to 9-7. He won a playoff game with them. It's a very – they're very lofty expectations. Hmm. When you fire your head coach after winning a playoff game, the next guy is expected to come in and immediately go further. So I'm not saying he's going to get fired, but I just think the expectations for Vrabel is extremely high, and I think it's a hot seat if he doesn't do well.
All right, yep. I'd say that's a fair point to make. What about you, Matt?
I was torn between Blake Bortles and Bill O'Brien.
Really?
Yeah, I think I'm going to lean Bill O'Brien. He seems like he's just constantly being followed by black cats. It seems like every year there's always some sort of big injury that will happen. there was, what, like 5 years ago, they had T.J. Yates as their quarterback, third string guy, and he was serviceable, but they just couldn't seem to win a playoff game with him. And it seems like from there, after like multiple years of making the playoffs, things just keep going downhill, but the talent level keeps going up. Not all his fault. It just seems like eventually you need to prove something with all that talent. And I think if he doesn't prove it this year and win this division outright, I think they might be looking for a new head coach next year.
That's an interesting point to make. Dean, do you have anyone different who might be on the hot seat this year?
I agree with Matt. I think Bill O'Brien will be expected to do a lot with what he's got. I think Jake makes a good point, too, with Mike Vrabel, because he's right. I mean, you're expected to win and win now. There's no rebuilding in Tennessee. They went out and spent the money. They took the draft picks to fill the holes on the defensive side, along with those free agents. And I think they both both coaches have something to prove.
I think that something I want to visit here, because I'm an ardent Blake Bortles defender. I don't know why, but I just think that people give him way more crap than he deserves, because if you look at him statistically, you can point to the interceptions. Yes, but then you compare those with some other interception numbers in the league, and he matches up with guys like Kirk Cousins and Dak Prescott, and even like a Derek Carr and these guys that are good game manager quarterbacks who are about to take this next step forward. I don't think that necessarily Blake Bortles is a game wrecker, but is it fair to say that he's not the worst quarterback in the league and that he's possibly right on the cusp of being in the top 15?
I wouldn't say it's too outrageous. I've kind of seen Blake Bortles. He seems competent. As the years have grown, he's gotten a little more confident. And I think with him getting the vote of confidence for this season, he will actually really feel comfortable in this offense. And believe it or not, Jacksonville has some pretty good weapons on offense. No, like, stud wide receivers, but you have Leonard Fournette, and you're going to need three guys to bring him down unless you go at his ankle. And all those receivers have just proven that they can just catch the ball, bring the ball down. That's pretty much what you have to do. You bring the ball down, you don't drop it, don't cause interceptions, and this offense will work. The defense will keep them in the game.
I like the simple analysis there. To be a good wide receiver in the NFL, you have to catch the ball. Mm-hmm. I would agree. I think most would. I don't know. I just feel like Blake Bortles gets – I don't know. I feel like the criticism he takes is a little bit unfair, because if you look at it, like his last two games against the Steelers and the Patriots, like it's not his fault that they lost to the Patriots. He was if Tom Brady isn't the greatest quarterback of all time and doesn't lead a last second game winning drive, then the Jaguars are going to the Super Bowl. And I mean, I don't know. I'm just I don't like the Blake Bortles hate. It makes me a little bit mad that people overlook him, I guess. I would say.
I mean, I definitely agree. I think he gets more hate than he deserves. I mean, I think 2 or 3 years ago a lot of people were looking at him as one of the better rising quarterbacks, and then he had two seasons where he threw a lot of pick sixes in some crucial spots. But I agree. I just think that if the Jaguars don't exceed expectations this year, he's going to be the scapegoat. He's going to be the guy that they blame it on.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point.
I just think the fan base is – I think they've made the idea that if they don't do well this season, it's Bortles, and they're going to want a new, young, flashy quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a fair point. I don't think they're going to crash and burn, though. I feel like a lot of people think they're going to take a significant step back, but they just don't have that tough a schedule. And, like, I don't know. I feel like that they're, like, if things break right for them, they could be like a 12-13 win team. I don't think they're going to get there, but I certainly think they have the best shot of winning the division again this year. I don't know if I'm crazy for thinking that or not. What do you think, Dean?
Well, they certainly have one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And they went out and got better in the draft with their defense. And I don't see them being out of a lot of ball games. When you can play defense like that, it's like the old Baltimore Ravens from a few years back. They were in every game the years they won the Super Bowl. They didn't have to have a great offense to do that. They don't have to have a great offense in Jacksonville to win a lot of football games. I think Bortles does take too much crap about some things too. I'm not a Bortles fan, but he does what they ask him to do. They don't ask him to throw for 400 yards and 8 touchdowns, you know, like some quarterbacks are asked to do. So I think he does. He's more than serviceable as a quarterback and can win in with that team.
Absolutely. When we come back, we will touch a little bit more on the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we'll move on to talk a little bit more about the Titans this upcoming year when we come back. All right, we are back after our break. Thanks for joining us again here on the End Zone Podcast. So we just finished talking a little bit about Blake Bortles and the Jaguars as a team that have a very good defense, but kind of a questionable offense. Another team with, I think, a lot of question marks is the Tennessee Titans. And I want to know, if you had to give the Tennessee Titans something that would turn them from a team that kind of made the playoffs as a result of other teams falling off last year, to becoming a team that could win the division and really be considered contenders in the AFC, what's missing for the Titans? I'll start with you, Dean.
Well, they drafted Corey Davis to be the number one receiver. The receiving core has to step up on offense. That's the main thing. I mean, with Henry and Lewis, the running back situation has sorted itself pretty well, I think. Offensive line is one of the best in football. Mariota is a rising young quarterback, not last year notwithstanding. The receivers have got to step up. Delanie Walker hopefully is healthy and he can continue to play at the level he's played at. But the guys on the outside are the ones on the offense that have to step up.
What do you think, Matt?
Personally, I think we need a fierce, fast defensive line. We have a pretty young, talented secondary. We definitely got a couple ball hawks. It flashed last year for sure. If we have the ability to make quarterbacks and make rush throws and some snap decisions, that'll play right into our secondary's hands. And it just really disrupts the entire offense.
Best Who do you think could be that guy to kind of break out on the defensive line this year?
Got to be Harold Landry. He's already flashing it.
That's a guy out of Boston College, correct? The pass rusher out of Boston College.
You got it.
I'm interested to see how he plays in the NFL. I was pretty impressed by him in college. What about you, Jake?
I think the Titans filled some holes this offseason on defense with Butler and getting Evans and Landry early in the draft. I would agree with Dean. It's the receiving core. They need a true number one guy because every year it seems like Mariota throws to Delanie Walker all the time, and he's not always going to be there. So if Taywan Taylor or Corey Davis steps up, I think that would be the biggest thing. They need a true number one guy for Mariota to trust and throw to.
That's a good point. All right, so let's talk a little bit about the Titans' defense. Obviously, you bring in Malcolm Butler as a guy who's obviously you're hoping to be a shutdown cornerback. What are you most excited for about this defense this year? I'll start with you, Matt.
It's got to be that secondary. I really do love whenever there's ball hawks around. They just make deep throws so exciting. Malcolm Butler being able to hopefully lock down just one side altogether, really limit where the quarterbacks can throw and sort of make throws a little more predictable. I think that's really what helped, like, the Seahawks secondary a few years ago. And I think that something similar in fashion could be developing in Tennessee. It'd be require some players to take a step up, but I don't think it's out of the question.
What about you, Dean?
Well, I'm excited to see how the entire defense adapts to Dean P's scheme versus Dick LeBeau's. LeBeau brought pressure, and the Titans got pressure on the quarterback. I think they had like the fifth or sixth most sacks in the league last year around that point. But like was mentioned earlier, Harold Landry is one of those guys that if he's playing at his at the level that he can probably play at in the NFL, he is a guy you have to scheme for. You got to find him. Where is Landry at? And make sure you put some pads on him or he will get to your quarterback.
Our last question here on the Titans before we move on to our next topic here. Derrick Henry, Deion Lewis. What's the workload split going to look like for those guys this year? I'll start with you, Jake.
I'd say probably 60-40 Henry. I think Henry's been waiting behind Murray to become the lead back, so they're going to give it to him. They're going to give him the lead role, and I think he's earned it. But I think Deion Lewis is such a weapon. He can be used in so many ways that they can't deny him the ball. They have to get it to him.
It's a solid point. What about you, Matt?
Well, I'm a big Henry truther, but I think the split will be about 65-35. I wrote an article a couple weeks ago talking about Derrick Henry and what happens if he gets a volume of work. If he gets 10 or more touches, he averages about 4.8 yards a carry, and he's only had 10 such games like that. But in those 10 games, he scored 6 touchdowns, and we saw what he can do whenever he gets volume against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think Lewis is there because he's an excellent change of pace back, but we've never seen him really get a ton of volume in his career. His durability issues certainly raise a question. I think our coaching staff is smart enough to realize that if you're going to use Lewis, you kind of have to use him as a change of back guy or have a greater risk of injury.
Okay, that's a nice transition. Speaking of durability, and I'll start with you on this here, Dean. We've talked about the Texans' offense a lot. The Texans' defense, I don't know why, but I'm really scared for that defense because I feel like they're the most injury-prone group in the league. Am I correct on thinking that? Because, I mean, I love J.J. Watt, but it just seems like at this point in his career, he has gone from a guy that people have compared to Lawrence Taylor to a guy that is just perpetually injured, and it hurts that defense so much.
It seems that way. Watt's one of those guys that you have to, or in the past he has been, you have to scheme for. You got to find out where J.J. Watt is. And the defensive statistics that you saw after Watt and Whitney Mercilus both went down were just opposite of what you would expect out of the Texans defense, because they've always been a pretty good group. But I think you're right. I think injuries – even they signed
Tyrann Mathieu.
Thank you. He's been injured too. So they maybe didn't help themselves a whole lot there. Maybe they did. But I think you're right. They are injury prone more so than the other teams in the division, and it could hurt.
Jake, does the Texans cornerback group concern you at all?
I think they got better this offseason. I like Aaron Colvin. I think he was kind of overshadowed in Jacksonville behind Boye and Ramsey, and stealing him from the division rival is it's big. And I think having Mathieu there will also help. I mean, I think their secondary definitely improved. I wouldn't say it's one of the better groups in the league, but I think they're a solid group.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Matt, I want to ask you this then. If the Texans' defense stays healthy, well, I guess that's a better question. Will the Texans' defense stay healthy this year, do you think?
No, probably not. if it's not one thing, it's another. They have one of probably the most feared pass rushes between Clowney and Watt, if they're healthy. But it seems like they're never on the field at the same time. And I kind of just expect that trend to continue. And as much as it pains me to say it, I think Watt's really starting to fall off. And he covers up a lot of the deficiencies that the secondary have had. I don't think they're going to stay healthy.
Yeah, I'm really worried about the Texans' defense. And I've had a hard time buying in on the Texans this offseason, even though Deshaun Watson is so good, just because I think that there's a chance that the defense really has a hard year this year in Houston. Okay, let's move on to a team that I don't think we've talked about at all, which is the Indianapolis Colts. And obviously the huge news out of there is that Andrew Luck is back. What do you think we're going to get out of him is the question I want to throw out there. And I'll start with you, Jake. If you had to – let's play some over-under here. And I'll let you all chime in on this as I quickly pull up Andrew Luck's stats here. Just as far as the kind of year he's going to have statistically, let's start with something easy. 4,000.5 yards. Over under, how do you think that's going to shake out this year? Well, I'll start with you, Jake.
It's a tough one because he hasn't thrown a football, or at least he hadn't thrown a football in over a year, or an NFL-sized football. And it's – I mean, obviously, I'm not a quarterback. I don't know what kind of effect that's going to have on him, but I don't think it's going to be a good one. I'm going to say under, just because also on that offense, they have T.Y. Hilton as their weapon, and I think if secondaries are going to put a blanket over him, who else is he going to throw the ball to? And I would say under, but – he could easily prove me wrong. He's Andrew Luck. He still has one of the greatest talents in the game when healthy.
Absolutely. Matt, what do you think?
As much as I love Andrew Luck, I think I'm going to have to go under here myself. If they still had Deion Kane, who was really emerging before he regrettably tore his ACL, I'd think that he had a shot at it. But T.Y. Hilton can only do so much.
Right. What about you, Dean?
I'm going to be contrarian. I'm going to say over.
I like that.
Not only for T.Y. Hilton, but for Jack Doyle and Eric Ebron, Luck has shown in the past that he will throw it to his tight ends, like Dwight Anderson and others. So I think he's got a shot. And I don't know who's going to run the football in Indianapolis. You know, if it's going to be Marlon Mack, he's not a big back. They're going to be Mehum Hines. I don't think he's that big of a back either. I think he's going to have to throw it. So I'm going to say over.
All right, let's go with touchdowns, and I'll start with you, Matt. I'm going to set it at 23.5.
Now, I'm not afraid to take the over here. I think about 25, 26 is reasonable for him. Like you said, he likes to throw to tight ends, and he's got two big tight ends, even though Ebron struggled last year. The year before, he was pretty good, if my memory serves, especially in the red zone. I think that that's going to help. T.Y. is going to burn and get loose for a few. I just think that with how much Andrew Luck's probably going to be throwing the ball, 25 just sounds about right.
Yeah. I would agree with that. 25 sounds about right. Anyone taking me under on that?
Nope.
No. All right. Shaking heads. I like that. All right. So, Andrew Luck, you guys think he's going to pan out probably? Do you think he'll finish a year kind of as a guy that people look at as a top 10 quarterback again? Or do you think maybe just a little bit below that? Or where do you think he kind of pans out, Dean?
I think he finishes a little out of the top 10. I'm thinking 12. I think I had him at 12 or 13. Just there's got to be some rust. I don't care how talented, and he is really talented. And I think football, NFL is better when Andrew Luck can play. I just think it's going to take a few games to shake that rust off, and I don't think he's going to be at quite a top 10 level.
All right. Flipping it to the other side of the ball, the Colts defense. It is vomit-inducing to look at this roster. I don't know. It makes me legitimately uncomfortable looking at the Colts defensive roster because I think a lot of people gave Chris Ballard a lot of credit for the draft, which they should. He hit on a really good offensive lineman, and he improved the offensive line a lot. But everyone really hyped up his defensive picks, and I just don't see it. There is not a single player on this defense that is an NFL starting caliber outside of Malik Hooker. Am I wrong? I'll start with you, Jake.
I wouldn't disagree. I think Malik Hooker is the only guy on that depth chart I can look at and say that's a guy who could be a stud for that defense. Quincy Wilson was their second round pick last year, the cornerback out of Florida. I don't think we've seen much from him. He's the only other guy I would say could have a breakout year, but yeah, that defense it's about as bad as it gets.
What do you think, Dean? Any breakout stars, or are you kind of with Jake on this one?
I agree with Jake. I think he hit the nail on the head. Hooker's the only guy that you could look at and say, I'd like to have him on my team. I agree with Jake. That's just my opinion, but I don't think highly of the Colts defense either.
Yeah, I'm very, very concerned about what this defense is going to show. I think that they're liable to allow 30 points a game this year. I think that is certainly not out of the question. So that's very, very concerning to me. So let's move on, kind of close this out. The final segment, I've done this with every division. We'll go kind of around the horn. We'll go Jake, Matt, Dean. We'll kind of go rapid fire. So once one person finishes, just pick it right up. A hot take for every team. Let's start with the Tennessee Titans. Jake, I'll start with you.
Marcus Mariota throws for 30 touchdowns for the first time in his career. I think LaFleur's offense is going to give him the opportunity to play to his strengths. I think he's going to get to 30 touchdowns.
Matt.
All right, I'll take over. My take, Derrick Henry, the freight train himself, will rush for 12-plus touchdowns on the year. I think that offense, that zone blocking scheme is just going to create so many holes for him to just barrel through, and he's explosive. And I think he's going to dominate in the red zone whenever he gets the chance.
Titans defense overall finishes in the top 10, maybe even the top 6.
All right, I like that one. I think mine would have to be Corey Davis finishes the year as a household name. I think that he's going to kind of jump into the echelon of Odell Beckham Jr. and the guys that everyone knows in the league. I think that he's going to bring some real pop to the Titans, and I think by the end of this year, people are talking about the Titans as a team that gets a lot more national recognition than they do currently, which is close to none. So let's move on to the Houston Texans. Jake.
I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins' name, the offensive player of the year. I mean, just watching him in games last year, you can throw the ball anywhere and he catches it. So I think he's going to have an even bigger year this year. I think he's offensive player of the year.
Deshaun Watson will lead the AFC in touchdown passes.
Wow. That is bold. I like that. I like that.
I can see it happening. He's got so many weapons on to catch the ball in the offense. Two burners that can catch deep balls, like you said, Hopkins. If Foreman comes back healthy from his Achilles, I think there's going to be a couple of touchdown receptions there. I like it.
Yeah, I think Foreman does come back, and I think he takes Miller's job away from him by midseason.
All right. I think J.J. Watt stays healthy this year and gets over 15 sacks. I think that would be my hot take. I think that the defense itself on a whole – might be injured a little bit, but I think Watt plays a full season this year and he puts up some killer numbers. So I like that hot take, actually. I kind of
spicy hot take.
I actually believe that he's going to play the whole season. I think he'll finally be healthy this year, and I think a healthy J.J. Watt can put up some record-looking numbers. All right, let's move on to the Indianapolis Colts.
I'm going to have to go with the Colts have a top three pick in next year's draft. It could be one. I don't think they're worse than the Bills overall. I'm going to just say top three. That's my pick for them.
Wow, that's spicy. I like it.
Well, then I got one even better for you. Jordan Wilkins will be the next Jordan Howard.
Oh, man. So you don't have any faith in Marlon Mack? Because I feel like he's very hyped up by a lot of people, but you don't like Marlon Mack.
I see him as the Colts version of Jeremy Langford. He can flash, but then he gets injured, and Jordan Wilkins takes the job and keeps the job.
That's a solid hot take. Dean?
I think Jack Doyle is one of the top five tight ends in the NFL when all said and done, especially if Luck is thrown in the football.
I like that. I will go Andrew Luck is an MVP candidate. And I honestly don't think that's too far. I don't think that's that hot a take, honestly. I think that's kind of a lukewarm take. Certainly not a cold take, but it's right there in the middle. It's not quite spicy enough, but I'll go safe on that one. The Jacksonville Jaguars, where are you at, man?
I'm going to go – they will fall out of the top 10 in total defense. I think they're still a great defensive unit, but last year they had one of the better defensive seasons I've ever seen. I think they're going to regress back to the median and or in the mean, and they'll fall out of the top 10, even if it's just barely.
Well, I might have a little something that might counter that. I say Keelan Cole will hit right around 1,000 receiving yards on the year.
I like that. Keenan Cole, that's a name to keep an eye on. I like that. That's a good take. I like the way Cole performed last year. What about you, Dean?
I think Jacksonville will set the league record in sacks this year.
That's interesting.
I don't think they're going to regress. Unfortunately, I don't think they're going to regress much.
I still think they're a great team. I just think last year the defensive touchdowns they had, all of that, I think it was a little bit of an outlier. I think they're going to regress just a little bit. They may be 11. I'm just saying top 10. They're just outside.
All right. This is, I think, the hottest take of the group. The Jacksonville Jaguars are one of only three teams from the AFC that can make the Super Bowl. And I truly do believe that. I think that it's the Patriots, it's the Chargers, and it's the Jaguars this year. And I really don't think that I can't make an argument against the Jaguars. I like the way Blake Bortles played in last year's playoffs, and I think that if he plays even half as well as he did last year, they can again perform. I think if things fall right for them, they can be a 13-win game, and I would not be shocked at all if we saw them in Atlanta at the end of the season playing for the Super Bowl. So I think that'll be my hot take for the Jaguars. All right, now we're going to go counterclockwise. Record predictions for the division. I'll let you start, Dean. How do you see this division playing out?
I think it's really close. I think the AFC South is one of the better divisions in the NFL and one of the more competitive, closer divisions. So I think the Texans finish 11-5. I think Tennessee and Jacksonville finish 10-6. I think the Colts finish 5-11.
All right. Okay. I kind of like that. Maddie?
Dean and I are in complete agreement on the first three. Titans 10-6, Colts 10-6. Not the Colts, excuse me, the Texans 10-6. Well, shot myself in the foot there. And the No, you said the Texans win. I have the Jags going 11-5. Sorry, Dean. Got myself mixed up there. And I got the Colts bouncing back strong, but 7-9.
All right. What about you, Jake?
I'm pretty close with you guys, especially Matt. I have the Jaguars going 11-5, Titans 10-6, Texans 9-7. I think they could make the playoffs as the sixth seed, but it'll be close. And then I got to stick by my hot take. I have the Colts going 3-13.
Ooh, that is hot. But I'm kind of down on the Colts too. I have the Jaguars winning the division at 11-5, the Texans following up at 9-7. I think the Titans go 8-8. I don't know. I don't. If Mariota performs, if they can get the most out of that offense, there's no doubt in my mind that they could win 10 or 11 games. But until I see Mariota perform consistently, I've seen him perform. I need to see it more consistently. I can't buy into them. I think they go 8-8. And then I think the Colts, despite Andrew Luck having a good year, I think they end up going about 6-10. So I don't know. Just not enough talent on defense. They play too many good offenses to win that many games. So I guess that's my take on the AFC South. Any final thoughts before we head out?
I got a little bit of something. Ironically, don't sleep on the Colts D. There's a little grain of hope there. Last year, they were ninth in the league in yards per attempt, and you could probably blame a lot of their inadequacies on the inadequacies of the offense. Brissett did a competent job, but I think the return of Andrew Luck will help that defense by getting them some more rest, and there will be some room for improvement there.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay. I like it. I like it indeed. All right, guys. Well, this was a ton of fun. Thanks for joining me on this latest edition of the End Zone Podcast. Again, why don't we just go around the horn, plug yourselves again. Jake, I'll let you start. Where can people find you on Twitter?
Lyman Jake, at Lyman Jake, or at FBC underscore Titans. The new guy on the staff. Check out some of the articles.
Matt?
You can catch me at iDuck14, just like iPod and iPad, but iDuck, because I'm a big Apple lover. But you can also catch some of my stuff on FPC underscore Titans, just like all the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dean?
You can find me on Twitter at BadAppleFFB. And you guys that are watching this should come check out Full Press Coverage. There's a lot of great stuff on there for all the teams.
Yeah, absolutely. Go check out Full Press Coverage. It's one of my favorite football sites to read. And you guys cover a little bit more than football too, but I pay attention to the football section. So indeed, thank you guys for joining me a lot. We will be back on Monday. A little bit of a different schedule this week. We'll have a show out on Monday, a show out Tuesday, a show out Wednesday, and then a break until the Monday of next week, so the 27th. So a little bit of a weirder schedule this week. Keep an eye on the Twitter at EndZonePod. Give us a follow. Hope you enjoyed. Thank you for your time, guys. We'll see you later. Peace out.
Hey, thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Bye-bye. Follow us on Twitter at EndZonePod. If you have any suggestions, questions, or you just want a shout out on the pod, send an email to endzonepod@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. See you next time.